first, please?
Daryl Good, Extension Economist, University of Illinois.
You have anything in specific you want to talk about? If not, I do.
Well, I was just going to talk in general about how kind of unique the situation is. We just basically have not much bearish going on out there. Everything is, from a price standpoint, is really very, very supportive. And typically you talk about, well, this is positive, this is negative. There's just not much on the negative side to talk about these days. So I was just going to kind of make a point of that. But,
well, tell me about it then.
Well, I mean, when you look at our major commodities, corn, soybeans, and wheat, and you look at both the supply and the demand side fundamentally, and traditionally what we think about is, okay, what are the positive factors supporting price? What are some of the bearish factors, and how do we weigh them in terms of price expectations? Right now, I think the bullish side is pretty heavily weighted relative to the bearish side of the fundamentals of these markets. It's hard to find something that you can point to that's negative from a fundamental standpoint. We have extremely strong export demand. Ethanol prices have recovered, which suggests that corn demand for ethanol is going to continue to be strong. We've got continued weather concerns in the hard red winter wheat area of the U.S., dry in Argentina, probably some frost damage to the wheat crop there, perhaps to the corn crop. Some dry areas in Brazil that could negatively impact soybean and corn production. The only negative things that you might talk about a bit are maybe a strengthening dollar. If that happens longer term, maybe that's a little bit negative to potential export demand, but that's out a ways. We are seeing some slowing of soybean oil use for biodiesel. September-October numbers came down pretty sharply from what we saw in August, suggesting that the high soybean oil prices have limited the profitability there. But soybean meal prices have stepped in and kind of filled a gap here. We've seen a nice rally in meal prices as corn prices have strengthened. We need more acres of corn and soybeans next year, which is price supportive, as is usually the case, but maybe a little more vehemently this year. We're hearing people kind of wave the drought flag for 2008. So I think in general, kind of everything we look at from a fundamental standpoint is pretty supportive, corn, soybeans, and wheat, at least in the near term. Certainly things can change 6 to 12 months out, but right now everything is pretty friendly.
With the extra wheat acres that we put in the ground, well, what are the losing crops if we've got more acres of wheat, more acres of corn, more acres of soybeans next year? And it doesn't matter by how many acres,
right.
Who loses?
Well, cotton? What we saw last year was that we saw a reduction in spring wheat, cotton, rice, pasture, hay. So if we're going to get more acres total of corn, soybeans, and wheat, maybe we don't get more of all three, but certainly we're going to get more total of those three, then it has to come from something. And that means that prices of those three commodities have to stay very robust in order to make sure that we get those acres. The problem, of course, is that if you do that 2 years in a row, then all of a sudden we're talking a smaller supply of cotton, a smaller supply of rice, and higher prices for those commodities. So they get back in the game trying to maintain acreage of those crops. So it's a bit of a dilemma, I think, as we move forward, is how do we satisfy this very strong demand with kind of a fixed acreage base? And ultimately, that will put some emphasis back on the CRP program and whether we start allowing some of that acreage to come back into production. And frankly, landowners have that option as those contracts mature. They can decide to bring that back into cropland. By definition, all of that acreage was in crops at one time or another, even if it was just for 1 year before it went into the CRP. But under the right conditions, that acreage could start coming back into production. The other issue, of course, will be how the rest of the world responds, what kind of a supply response will these high prices over a protracted period start generating? We're kind of surprised about the modest acreage response in South America and soybeans this year, but $10, $11 beans for another year, $4 corn for another year, high-priced wheat for another year. What kind of supply response can we see in the rest of the world might step in and certainly fill some of the supply gap?
Kind of an interesting few comments there. $4 corn for another year, $10 beans for another year. Producers are really convinced, I think, that they can raise 200 bushel corn and at $4, and they're going to sell it at $4. I suppose they think that, you know, they're raising 45 or 50, that's 60 bushel beans, whatever that might be, and they're going to sell those at $9 or $10. Lucky. Do you think that they can really bet on that? Is that really in the cards for next year, or are producers just too bullish about this?
No, I think whether $4 and $10, that may be too optimistic for an average price. Certainly, if you look at where the market is right now, it says $4 plus corn for the next 3 years is what the futures market says. And we're looking at $9.50 to $10 beans for the next 3 years in the market right now. So I think there is convincing evidence that we will be at high prices. Of concern, of course, is the fact that production costs are also moving up fairly sharply. And I think it's fair to say, for example, that from a cost standpoint, we've basically moved from $2 corn to now $3 corn as kind of a break-even number, and the same on soybeans. I mean, we thought $6 or $7 to cover all costs. That's moving up rapidly. Maybe we need $8 to $8.50 beans just to cover costs. So as we ratchet that cost side up, it says that if we want the producer to continue to expand production, the market has to give the producer a price that will cover those costs and keep the production level going up. So I think there's a pretty strong case to be made that prices are at a higher level for a prolonged period of time.
You know, when we talk about this, and I'm going to go back to something, it's a chart that's in the ethanol, the things that were produced upstairs, that shows the $1.14 corn and $2.42 corn prior to 73 and after 73. Many people, we talk occasionally, we talk in the mid-90s about a new plateau. But if you look at those charts, we're not nearly high enough yet to present a new plateau, maybe just a trend higher. What's the difference between the two, and how might you define? I mean, what I guess I'm not sure what the question is, but
yeah.
You probably have an answer there.
I mean, if you look at the period from 1973 through 2006, the average farm price of corn in Illinois was $2.42, and as you said, that's about $1.20 or $1.30 higher than what we averaged in the 60s. But we had tremendous variability around that average of 242. I mean, we can remember $5.50 corn in 1996. We remember $1.50 corn in the fall of 1987. So it was tremendous variation around that. So now that we've averaged, say, $3 or a little higher for the last 12 months, is that the start of a new plateau? I mean, so far, you say, well, that's within the range of what we've experienced the last 30 years. So maybe we're just on a temporary blip up like we have oftentimes in the past. The difference is the blips in the past, the $3 plus corn historically has basically been supply driven. I think the difference now is we're in a very strong demand market for all of our major commodities. We're raising the cost of production much like we did in the early 70s. And so once you raise that cost of production, it does say that there is a need to keep prices at a higher level. Does that mean higher profitability? Maybe not, at least on a continuous basis, but it certainly says that prices need to be maintained at a higher level.